Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Belief and practice, they're linked, they are inseparable. It is absolutely impossible to have one without the other. And the truth is that it's easy enough for us to understand. Say, for instance, as this morning, I'm tired. Well, if I think that if I get a nap this afternoon, that it will resolve my problem of tiredness, I might embark upon a nap. Consequently, because I'm a pastor and I normally preach on Sunday mornings, a nap really wasn't a possibility this morning. And so instead, I opted for a cup of coffee. Several cups of coffee, and you know what? I believed that coffee would put some pep in my step, and what did it do? Just that. Further reinforcing that if I'm ever tired again, maybe a cup of coffee might be good as an option. On the other hand, too, if we think about our various vocations in life, if I want to be a good father and a good husband, I might do things that reflect being a good father and good husband. I'll probably spend time with my wife and kids, and I'll probably listen to them when they speak, and I'll probably provide for them as best as I can, because those are things that I believe are related to being a good father and husband. Now, this works in every other aspect of our life too. Belief and practice. In every aspect of our life, these two things work together, and our faith is no exception. And so this week in Scripture, we hear these words. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so, is salvation something you want? Is Christ's righteousness something you desire? Well, assuming the answer is yes, it becomes very easy for us. Believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Believe that he has risen from the dead, that he has been crucified for you, that he conquered death for all time. That's easy, right? And then confess that he is Lord with your mouth. To which, as Lutherans, we sort of want to pump the brakes a bit, right? So, okay, there's the belief thing, but then we have to do something? Isn't that works righteousness, Pastor? Isn't that trying to gain salvation on our own? Doesn't that mean that we have something to do to be saved? No. Because you can't separate the mouth from the heart. You can't separate belief and practice. It is God alone who places faith into your heart without any working of you whatsoever. And if that faith is in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth. You can't help it. They're related. They're so connected that one consequently leads to the other. And so if you have faith in your heart, it will find expression as it confesses out your mouth. And by doing so, you'll gain both righteousness and salvation. It's right there. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You'll be saved. Now, this is where we're tempted. You see, because we come into the church Sunday in and Sunday out, and we confess a creed, right? And we go, okay, I've confessed the creed. I confess Jesus is Lord. I confess all of the things he did. My bases are covered, right? Not quite. You see, it's easy enough for us to speak the vocables, the syllables, the words. You know, a Chinaman could come in here and teach me how to say something in Chinese, but that doesn't mean I understand it. He can teach me how to move my tongue and my lips, but it doesn't mean anything. You see, God is looking for an active and a living faith, not a hypocritical one. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we know that salvation is offered to all people. But God only recognizes that faith that is true and living. The faith that confesses what is placed in the heart. Now, the Creed is a good place to start. Don't get me wrong. The Creed is spectacular, and it's wonderful at teaching us all sorts of things about who God is. But confessing Jesus is much more than reciting rotely without thinking things we may have learned in confirmation. See, in every aspect of our lives, in every vocation, God wants us to be those who confess. But it's not always the case. Somehow, as soon as we leave the church, all of a sudden, confessing our faith becomes the last thing we want to do. We live in a society where everything is individualized. If you speak what you believe, if you tell somebody what you believe to be true, you are automatically labeled and you're treated shamefully for it. And what happens is, as you get beaten down and bogged down and treated shamefully enough, what it does is it leads us to descend into ourselves. It leads to this mentality where we stop caring about those around us. It's okay for you to believe what you believe over there, and I'll believe what I believe over here, and you know what? If we just don't talk about it, we won't have any problem. It leads to individuality. Just worrying about me, myself, and I. And the truth is, it descends into so many aspects of our life. Not only church parts, not only faith parts, but faith parts certainly take the biggest hit. And it's just what Satan wants. He wants to isolate you. He wants you to think that you're alone. He wants to get you off by himself, because then he can take his pot shots, and then he can get to you, and then he can sort of lead you away from the truth. And so what he does is he convinces us all that our faith is our own, and we shouldn't be concerned about anybody else. And it leads us to prevent, really what it does, it prevents us from confessing. It prevents us from confessing what we believe. And that's why we don't like discussing our faith. Even with those who are closest to us, and maybe especially those who are closest to us. Because it's hard. Because it hurts. Because we know it's going to lead to conflict. And so what we hear in the church stays in the church. We don't share our faith. We don't share the hope that's in us. We don't confess. We'll keep it to ourselves, because that's way easier. But the truth is, we live in a world that's filled with sin. When was the last time you confronted someone who is living in an openly unrepentant sin? Something you knew that they were doing that is wrong according to God's word, and they just didn't care. Did you tell them it was wrong? Did you tell them that their sin removes them from God's grace? Or did you offer your approval by silence? Or maybe worse, you offered your approval by actually verbally approving it, trying to be more relatable in the situation. It's a golden opportunity to confess Jesus as Lord, calling somebody's sins to repentance, that way they might cling all the more to Jesus' death and resurrection, to his cross and his empty tomb. And so often these opportunities come, and then they're lost. We don't take them. When the truth is that God uses his people to bring his people to repentance. God uses you, his people, to bring others into the faith. And sometimes it means we have to speak law that's not going to be received very well. But the whole idea is that somebody might come to faith. Somebody might cling to the forgiveness won through Jesus' death and resurrection. Do we just want to watch those opportunities walk away? Or what of someone who's beaten down by sin? Maybe sickness or death or some other atrocity has happened. And what do we say to these people? So often we go, everything's going to be okay. Those are really nice words. But again, it's a missed opportunity. Everything's going to be okay is not the gospel. It doesn't proclaim Jesus. Instead, we could have assured people that they're not alone. That Jesus has always promised that he would be with his people to uphold them, never to leave them, never to forsake them, that by his death and resurrection, he has promised more joy and abundance than we could ever imagine. We could tell them that our tears and our hardships, they're only for a minute or two in the grand scheme of the world. They're just for a very short time. And that God himself has promised to bless us with paradise, where none of the hardships exist anymore. But instead, we lose another opportunity, and all we say is, everything's going to be okay. Whether it's sin that needs to be recalled to repentance, or whether it's the unavoidable sting of sin in the world, we remain silent. Silence? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, but not just you. By the confession of your mouth, you might save who knows how many others. How can they hear unless someone is sent? Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. If you will not speak, if I will not speak, who will? Last time I checked, God's not speaking from the clouds anymore. He uses you. He uses his people to deliver his message to the rest of the world. And so I want you to think for a minute. Jesus, he chose 12 people. You know, 11 minus Judas, right? He chose 12 people to go out and proclaim the gospel message. And these 12 people had a very, very, very important task. But what if it was just easier for them to remain silent? What if it was easier for them just to go back to the rest of their life after Jesus ascended? We would all be lost. And granted, the Lord has promised that he'll gather all of his people into his heavenly paradise. It's not as if one who was meant to be in heaven will somehow not be in heaven. But the truth is that God is sending each of us to preach a message. A message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen. So I have one more question for you today. Do you feel convicted? Because I do. I feel convicted in my sin because far too often I let these opportunities come and go. I fail to preach Christ. It's easy to do in the church. It's easy to do because all I have to do is show up here and you guys fill the pews and then a sermon comes out. But what about the other 6 days of the week? How many opportunities do we let go? My friends, today is the day to repent. To repent of your sins, to turn away from it, to turn away from your fear of persecution, to turn away from your fear of maybe a strained relationship, to turn from your fear of avoidance when we proclaim the gospel. And instead, turn to the Lord. Know that your sins are forgiven because Jesus has promised it. Because he has been crucified for you. Because he has risen for you. Because he sends the Spirit of God to you to remind you of that as often as humanly possible. That you are his chosen people. That you are forgiven. That he holds nothing against you, even your silence. It's not a sin that God will count against you on the last day. But know that because you are forgiven, now is the opportunity to confess. And the creed is a great place to start. My friends, Jesus has come to this earth to be born of the Virgin Mary for you. He suffered under Pontius Pilate for you. He shed his blood on the cross for you. He was crucified for you. He died for you. He rose for you. He descended into hell for you. He ascended into heaven for you. And even now he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty for you. Everything Jesus does, he does for you and for me and for a whole world who doesn't know him, so that you can hear the words of Christ, the words of forgiveness, the words of salvation, so that they can come into your ears and make a home in your heart. And what lives in your heart comes out of your mouth. My friends, you are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are God's people. And today is the day to proclaim. It's going to start today. In fact, it's going to start in a few moments, because in 1 Corinthians we hear these words. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. My friends, the Lord's Supper this day will strengthen your faith, it will empower you, and it will send you out of the doors of this church to confess Jesus with your mouth. The very same Jesus who already dwells in your heart. So today, believe. Jesus has risen, Jesus has died for you. Use every opportunity to confess that truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your confession in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.